As a young child, I somehow learned that the two types of people I should always be kind and friendly to were janitors and receptionists. I don't recall if this was something I picked up on in that eerie way that children have, or if this was something my mother taught me. At first, my reasoning was very practical. The janitors held the keys and could help me retrieve items from classrooms after school. I often left items in classrooms after school. While the receptionists were the ones who could help me call my mom during the day. It was only as an adult that I realized that the administrative assistants knew everything about how the organization ran, and they, along with the janitors, truly ran the place. As I reached middle school and high school and watched how adults interacted with these people, I realized that I was one of the few who treated janitors and administrative staff with respect. While others ignored them or spoke to them begrudgingly, I treated them with the respect I felt that they, as human beings, were due. And to be honest, I went out of my way to be extra friendly, to make up for the gruffness they experienced from others. As an adult, I witnessed the poor behavior that was thrust upon waitstaff and bussers, hotel maids, restroom attendants, and department store employees. When I would smile at them or say, "Hi," some would bob their heads and smile at me, but others would look at me in shock, as if I were the first person to treat them decently all day. The first person to see them, to not treat them as invisible. Traditionally, when discussions turn towards invisible labor or hidden labor, people are often talking about the work that mothers do to keep households running. It is only recently that the work that farm workers, meat packers, maids, janitors, and others do to keep the economy running has entered the picture. They have largely remained absent from the discussion. Why is that? I maintain that their absence is due to the fact that often these jobs are seen as ones that Americans won't or don't do. During a question and answer session at Southern Methodist University in January 2011, former President George W. Bush stated that immigrants are coming to the United States to do jobs Americans aren't doing, are not capable of doing, or are unwilling to do. This sentiment echoed something he said during a press conference he held in March 2006. At that time, he said the following: "If an American won't do a job and you can find somebody who will do the job, they ought to be allowed to do it legally on a temporary basis." Then, President Bush was talking about coyotes carrying illegal immigrants to areas where they could find work, and on finding a solution to both of these issues. But what stood out to me then, and what still stands out to me, was the notion that there was labor that Americans either could not or would not do, and that this labor was therefore being relegated to non-Americans. This idea of undesirable labor being done by non-Americans persists. In August of this year, over 680 undocumented workers were detained in a record-breaking sweep in Mississippi. These workers were, by and large, employees of food processing plants. Not only were workers in Mississippi horrified by the effect of the raids on families, but there was also concern about the simple aspect of labor. Who would do the work when the laborers were gone? In August 2018, the Center for Immigration Studies, a nonpartisan, nonprofit research organization, published a background document looking at immigrant employment by occupation. Using American Community Survey data from 2012 to 2016, they were able to show that there were few majority immigrant occupations. Some of the more significant findings: Of the 474 civilian occupations, only 6 are majority immigrant occupations, and immigrant being legal and illegal immigrant. These 6 occupations account for 1% of the total U.S. workforce. Moreover, Native-born Americans still comprise 46% of workers in these occupations. Another point they found, there are no occupations in the United States in which a majority of workers are illegal immigrants. None. Illegal immigrants work mostly in construction, cleaning, maintenance, food service, garment manufacturing, and agricultural occupations. However, the majority of workers even in these areas are either native-born or legal immigrants. Another thing they found was that only 4% of illegal immigrants and 2% of all immigrants do farm work. Legal and illegal immigrants do make up a large share of agricultural workers, accounting for half or more of some types of farm laborers, but all agricultural workers together constitute less than 1% of the American workforce. And finally, many occupations often thought to be worked overwhelmingly by legal and illegal immigrants are in fact majority native-born employed in occupations. These include maids and housekeepers, taxi drivers and chauffeurs, butchers and meat processors, grounds maintenance workers, construction laborers, and finally, janitors. Of course, there are some differences by state. California is a state with a high level of immigration. Therefore, we will have a higher level of immigrants than, say, Ohio. But even allowing for that, the idea that immigrants do the work that Americans won't do is a false one. Okay then, what we have here is a false paradigm, a false notion that there are jobs that Americans won't or don't do. Why does this notion persist? I argue that it is because people who hold this belief have in mind a particular idea of who is an American. Perhaps the American they have in mind is young, white, educated, middle class, male. If this is the case, then yes, it is highly unlikely that this type of American will be seen doing the types of jobs typical of hidden labor. These jobs are held by people with high school educations, or maybe they're from backgrounds that are not middle class. These jobs are held by women of color, or by older men originally from other countries. As the report states, few of these jobs are held predominantly by illegal immigrants, and many are held by Americans. But they do not fit the stereotypical image of America, and therefore their image is invisible. Let me tell you a story. I'm a third generation college graduate. Third generation. That makes me a little off the norm in some instances. My mother has a bachelor's degree in Spanish with a minor in Swahili. She was raised by a mother who was a teacher and principal. My grandmother had done all the coursework towards a doctorate in education. Unfortunately, she was unable to finish her dissertation due to having to raise 3 children by herself. My mom worked for the federal government as a civil rights investigator for the entirety of her working career. She is now retired and on her way to Morocco. But during my first year at my expensive Ivy League college, my mother cleaned offices at night after she finished her day job. She didn't fit the stereotype of the hidden labor employee, but she was forced to do that job due to circumstances because of my choice in college. My great-grandmother, on the other hand, did fit the stereotype to a certain extent. She had to quit school in 3rd grade in order to work as a maid so that she could put food on the table. My great-grandmother was an orphan, the offspring of a sharecropper, and the owner of the land who forced himself upon the sharecropper. At the same time, my great-grandmother held herself so regally, so upright, that people were afraid to ask her to move to the back of the bus. She had 13 children, 8 of whom survived to go to college. That's right, she put 8 children through college because she recognized the importance of education as a means of rising beyond the invisibility, the racism, the poverty that she experienced. It was her American dream. Unfortunately, the default definition of American is so narrow that people cannot see anyone but immigrants doing certain jobs. And American culture, by default, doesn't see those people at all. Here in California, people drive by fields and wonder, when's the strawberry festival? Or the tomato festival? When will that be taking place? And they don't take note of the people whose backs are bending over the crops, picking them, or the people running up and down the rows of plants on a foreman's deadline. Folks leave their hotel rooms with their faces in their smartphones, forgetting to leave a tip for the maids half the time, ignoring the small woman pushing the large cart of clean towels down the hall. People sigh impatiently for the busser to clean the mess left by 5 bored teenagers playing with the salt, with no appreciation for the busser. Would Americans have a greater appreciation of these people and of these jobs if they were being done by clean-cut young white men? If they looked more stereotypically American? I propose that we here start a revolution of kindness, that we show others what it's like to have greater gratitude toward everyone who does us a service, as was noted in the children's story that Sam read earlier today, that we remember to thank everyone, regardless of whether or not we see them or not. It doesn't matter where the person is from. What matters is that we be thankful to them, that we recognize their humanity. Smile and say thank you when we can. Leave a tip when appropriate. These gestures can help make long days and hard tasks bearable. This Labor Day, let's recognize the laborers around us. Regardless of whether or not they are Americans, they make life in America more bearable for many. May it be so.